All right, Matthew 26. The fall of a preacher. So the next week, we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, and last week, of course, we went over Judas, and this week it's about Peter denying Jesus five times, right? I'm just testing to see if you're awake. How many times? Three, okay. So I've entitled this, The Fall of a Preacher. Now, this is just, I'm going to get back to this at the end of the message. None of the apostles felt worthy to be killed in the same manner as Jesus. Tradition tells us that many of the apostles indeed went to a cross to die. So this is the cross of Andrew. They made the cross into an X because he says, I don't want to be crucified on the same type of cross as Jesus. I'm not worthy to be crucified that way. So that's the cross of Andrew. This is Philip's position. Philip, the apostle, said, I'm not worthy to be crucified on the cross the same way Jesus was. Please turn the cross sideways. And so he was crucified on the cross sideways, as pictured. How about Peter? Peter also said, I'm not worthy to be crucified on the cross the same way Jesus was either. And so how was Peter crucified? Upside down. Okay. So kind of keep that in mind here. So there's elements in the fall of a preacher, and the same elements that were behind Peter's fall as a preacher are the same elements in all of our lives when we kind of backslide and fall away from the Lord. So it's very instructional. In fact, there's like more verses on the fall of Peter than there is on the birth of Jesus or many other amazing truths of the Bible. So obviously God was like, hey, you need to focus on this. I believe he has 80 verses on the fall of Peter in the Bible. There's 15 in Matthew, 15 in Mark, 15 in Luke, and 25 in John. So let's start in verse chapter 26, verse 31. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then Jesus told them, this is during the Last Supper. They already celebrate the Last Supper like we just did. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. So I know we focus on Peter, and I call this sermon the fall of a preacher, but actually, technically, it probably the fall of the preachers. You know, there were 12 of them. It's the fall of the preachers. But we're going to focus in a little bit on Peter. So what's the elements of his fall? Number one, his self-confidence and boasting. He is like, hey, even if I have to die with you, I'm never going to disown you. Maybe these others will disown you, but I'm never going to disown you. Even though Jesus just got done saying, you're all going to disown me. Peter was very confident in himself, in his own strength and power. And that's always dangerous. In fact, some have said that older people, this is convicting, that sometimes it's the older Christians who get a little bit too used to Jesus and get a little bit too confident in their own flesh and in themselves, that it is often the older people that fall and backslide more than the younger Christians who are more cautious and more reliant on the Lord because they've just been saved from their sins. It's the older Christians that get into trouble because you kind of begin to neglect spiritual disciplines in your life because you're older and you kind of know it all. That's why David, you know, sinned when he was older, and Moses sinned when he was older, and Abraham sinned when he was older. And so we get a little bit confident in ourselves and not in God's strength. So my dad owned this car. It was a 1988 Lincoln Town Car. And he drove it for 6 years, and then he sold it to me really cheap. So I guess I bought it in 1994. So it was a great car. And one day, we had owned the car for maybe 6 months, and one day my wife comes into the house, and she is crying. She had just left. And 5 minutes later, she comes back to the house, and she is crying. I was backing out of the garage, and I scraped the whole side of the Lincoln on the side of the garage door. Well, not the whole side, just the whole back panel. You know, so I go down. That's when they built cars, okay? I'm not kidding. I took the paint right off. It didn't dent. The cars were made out of metal back then. But I kind of was like, dear, you know, this is an important car. You know, my dad basically gave us this car. I wouldn't do something like that. When I back out of the garage, I'm very careful to look out of the mirrors. And, you know, guess what I did 2 weeks later? Exactly the same thing. The same length, the same spot. So be careful. When you're boasting and you're self-confident and you go, well, I'll never commit adultery like maybe the other disciples will. I'll never commit adultery. I'll never steal. I'll never lie. I'll never look at pornography. I won't look at appropriate movies. I won't do something that's wrong. Be careful. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you are standing firm, watch out, because you're the one that's going to fall. Because you're relying in your own strength. You think you're strong enough without relying on the Holy Spirit all the time. All right, number two, verse 36. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. That means pray with me. Pray with me. Going a little bit further, he fell down and with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them, what? Sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible, may this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. May your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping. And he goes a third time, and verse 45, when he returns, he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Spiritual neglect. Now, Jesus already told the disciples that they were going to deny him. He gives them warning, and he tells Peter and the other apostles, hey, you need to pray. Pray that you do not fall into temptation. I told you that, you know, you're going to be tempted to deny me. Peter's like, no way. And then Jesus is like, you got to pray that you don't fall into temptation. But they fell asleep. I find it fascinating that Jesus uses the time frame of 1 hour. Could you not pray for 1 hour? How long is the typical prayer meeting? 1 hour. How long is the typical church service? 1 hour. I'm just amazed at the spiritual neglect of Christians who, I guess, are self-confident that they don't need prayer meeting or don't even need church service. Let me ask you this question, because they say the average born-again evangelical Christian now only goes to church twice a month. So in all the hours in a whole month, how many hours is the average born-again evangelical, supposedly on-fire Christian for the Lord, is in church in the average month? 2 hours! No wonder why so many Christians are backsliding and falling away. It's like, Jesus, couldn't you even give 1 hour? 1 hour! And the average Christian can't even give 1 hour. Oh, by the way, we all watch 6 hours of TV every day. But we can't give 1 hour a week to the Lord. And it's just another process in our backsliding from Jesus. Number three, there's a direct temptation from Satan. So here's what it says in Luke. I got it up here. So in the section on Luke, Jesus actually says to Peter, and this is his other name, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Just like Satan got permission to tempt Job, Satan has asked me permission as the Son of God to work you over, to bring this temptation. Remember, Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, and part of that prayer is, lead me not into temptation. Of course, Peter wasn't praying that because he was sleeping. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan asked permission from God to test one of the Christians. Do you know that I actually believe that Satan is talking to Jesus even now to have a special plan for each one of us? You with me? Satan's up there going, he knows your weaknesses. He knows your secret sins or your weaknesses. Maybe you're not sinning yet. And Satan goes to Jesus, can I have permission to, I've got a special thing I want to sift. I want to see, let's see how Christian they are. I notice they seem very self-confident. They're not in the Bible very much. They've been neglecting spiritual matters. They don't read the Bible. They skip church often. They don't go to prayer meeting. Can I sift them? Can I test them out? And Jesus is like, I allow it because it's good for Christians to see where they really are. And so Satan's got a special thing. It's different for every one of us where our weaknesses are. But make no mistake, it wasn't just with Peter. Satan has got a plan for every one of us to sift us, to see what we're made out of, to see if we're relying on Jesus. A shame in this. All right. Matthew 26 again, verse 69. So you know that, let me start out with this verse, okay? I'm going to start in verse 69 in Matthew 26, but here's how it starts in Mark. They took Jesus to the high priest, and Peter followed him at a distance. That's always trouble when you begin to follow Jesus at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. So the first thing we read is following at a distance. People start, when you start backsliding, you're like, oh, I follow Jesus, just at a distance. Okay, then verse 69 of Matthew 26. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and so he's sitting in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. I thought to myself, our language as believers should give us away. Okay? When you talk, it should give you away that you're a Christian. You with me? Okay, your accent. Verse 74, then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I don't know if you notice. First, he follows Jesus at a distance. Then he's in the courtyard. You'll notice that after the first denial, in verse 71, he goes to where now? To the gateway. He's heading out. So he's first following at a distance. He's hanging out with the wrong people. Now he's at the gateway, getting farther from Jesus. And then at the end of verse 75, where do we find him? Outside. Now he's gone. And I find that true when I've watched believers over the years. Like, you know, instead of being really close with Jesus, we follow at a distance. Then we get a little farther. Then we get at the gateway. And then we're out. Well, Peter hung out with the wrong crowd. He's warming himself up with the devil's people. The guards that are mocking and killing and spitting, and he's hanging out with them, warming himself up at the devil's fire. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled, brothers. Bad company corrupts good character. You would hope that, you know, the good would have the influence on the bad, but often it's exactly the opposite. And when people start backsliding, they start hanging out with people a lot more that aren't Christians, that don't honor God, that have bad practices. And you start hanging out with the wrong people. Step six, the old nature is back. The old nature is back. So you'll notice that the third denial, Peter, so first they say to him in verse 73 that, hey, your accent, your language gives you away. Kind of like, you sound like you're one of those followers of Jesus, Galilean, but you sound like you're one of those followers. Well, Peter's like, to prove that he isn't a Christian, Peter then, verse 74, the old nature comes back. He probably did this when he was a fisherman. He began to call curses down on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Now he's cursing himself. He's swearing and cursing, and he's like, do I sound like a Christian now? No. See, the way I'm acting, you know I'm not a Christian. You know I'm not a follower, because no follower would be cursing himself. And so the old nature is back. Don't ever underestimate that old nature that you have there. Here it is. This is the review of backsliding. We get self-confident and boasting, and we rely on our own strength, and we're not on our knees, and we're not in the Word of God, and we're not praying every day for God's grace and His Spirit to help us. And we start getting confident. I don't need church as much. I don't need prayer meeting. I don't need to be in the Bible all the time, because you think you're strong in yourself. And the older you get in the Lord, the more dangerous it becomes. Step two, spiritual neglect, church, prayer, reading the word, fasting, giving, witnessing. Then you have the attacks of Satan, and he will attack you. He has a plan. Then you're ashamed of Jesus. You're following at a distance. You hang out with the wrong people now. You're not hanging out at church. You're not hanging out with Christians. Who are you hanging out with? Wrong company, and then all of a sudden you start doing the stuff you used to do before you got saved. The old nature is back. So steps to restoration. This is good news about from last week. Judas, I told you Judas did not have godly repentance. Paul writes that godly sorrow leads to repentance. Repentance, godly repentance that leads to salvation, but worldly sorrow leads to death. So here is the, I think Peter had godly sorrow. So Luke 22:60. This has got to be painful. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Can you imagine that? Like, oh, that had to hurt. Looked right at him. And when we backslide, the Lord just looks right at us. And it's like, really? How could you? I thought you loved me. I'm broken. Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. That wept in the Greek is to cry aloud. And bitterly in the Greek is violently. So it's when you're just weeping and broken and crying out loud to God. So he was broken. It's always the first step to repentance. King David, when he was confronted about the adultery, he prayed Psalm 51. To God, he's broken, he's crying, it's godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that leads to salvation. Number two, Jesus prayed for Peter. Thank God. Remember Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have what? Prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anyone else is praying for you, but I know one who is praying for each one of us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's ever interceding for us and praying for us. Otherwise, we'd all be down. You know, we'd all fail. None of us would make it if it wasn't for the prayers of our Savior for us. By the way, I don't have this. I thought of this when I was going over this. When you return from your backsliding, when you're away from the Lord, and this is what's funny. Some people can be away from the Lord and obviously be sitting in church. When you're away from the Lord and you come back to Jesus, when you have an inward revival in your life, then what does Jesus tell Peter to do? And when you have turned back, what? Go help others. Go help Peter. When you turn back, I want you to go to Andrew and James and John and Matthew, and I want you to help them and strengthen them. See, I know when someone gets right with God, because then suddenly they want to go out and help other Christians to get right with God again. Okay, you with me? All right, so number three. Third, God will use some roosters in your life. I think it's interesting that Jesus used the rooster. Because what does a rooster hit you as? Doesn't it hit you as this masculine, I'm in charge, I am special? When he crows, is that, I don't know, I just see that. I think it's appropriate because I can picture Peter being that way. Just that rooster, self-confident, boasting. Lord, the others will deny you, but not me. They're hens. I'm a rooster, right? So I just think it's funny the Lord used the rooster for. But God will use roosters in your life. So I had different stories, but I'm too embarrassed to share them. I can share this one because it's so long ago, I don't feel quite as embarrassed. I was in seminary, and I was in a convenience store. And this is weird. I'm telling you, this has never been a problem in my life. But when I was in the convenience store, there was a pornographic magazine. There was pornographic magazines on the stand. And I don't know why. I went over, I pulled one, and then I got convicted, and I put it back down. And this is the truth. And then I turned around, and there was a fellow student from seminary looking right at me. Now, I don't know. He never said anything. Like, I don't know if he actually saw me pick that magazine out or not. Okay? But that was a rooster for me. It was as if it wasn't Jesus physically there. You know, when Peter denied three times and Jesus looked right at him, it was like Jesus was looking at me through this student's eyes. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I have no idea. I never discussed it with that student. I wasn't going to bring it up. Are you kidding? But I want you to know, it was a rooster. And I've had many different roosters in my life. Things will happen in your life to wake you up, to realize that God knows, and it breaks you. Peter was asked to make a choice. John 21. I do want you to turn to John 21. John chapter 21. So Peter quits the ministry. After all, he was cursing and denying Jesus. His ministry days are over. He's gone back to his old life, fishing. So John chapter 21. And I actually have in the NIV, before verse 15, do you have something there? Do you have a heading? What's it say? Jesus reinstates Peter. Because that implies he's out of the ministry. That's what I call it. It's a fall of the preacher. A fall of a preacher. Or the fall of the preachers. Okay? So verse 15 of John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? I don't think that these is the other disciples. It's the fish. Do you really love me more than your old life, the fishing, that whole world that you were in? You need to make a choice here. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, well, then I want you to feed my lambs. Go preach the word. Again, Jesus said, Simon, second time, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep, pastor the sheep in the church. Verse 17, the third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. That's that upside down cross. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Well, we all have to make a choice when we are backsliding. It's kind of like, do you love your old life better? Or do you love Jesus? You have to make that kind of decision when you backslide. Which way are you going to go? Do you love your old life without the Lord? Or do you want to live for Jesus? Walk with him side by side. The altars are also open for any of you that you know in your heart you are following Jesus at a distance. You know in your heart that there's things in your life that you've been defeated, like Peter. You're doing sin. I was thinking to myself this morning, boy, it's so unpopular to call anything sin anymore. But you know you're sinning. You know the devil's got a hold of you and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. And you're ready to weep. You're ready to I need to get back with Jesus again. So maybe some need prayer for a physical illness. But I'm going to open up the altar. So it's for those of you that need prayer, and it's for those of you that you've been following Jesus at a distance. You haven't been in the Word like you should. You haven't been praying like you should. You know that you're living a defeated life. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The altars are open. Let's stand. You know, I was telling you, God uses roosters, right? I'm a rooster to some of you this morning. I'm the rooster giving you the Lord's Word. The Lord knows that you are following him at a distance. Do you love him? Are you willing to come and say, Lord, I haven't been walking close with you like I ought. I know I have issues in my life. Is the Lord speaking to any of you? You just ask the Spirit to give you the ability to come. The backsliding will never end until you come and humble yourself. And though you will not have the strength in yourself to get the victory, you're going to ask Jesus to give you the victory, the forgiveness. So you come. Let's pray. Brother Scott. Father, we need thee every hour. We have an enemy of our souls that makes us complacent, that makes us self-assured, that wants to keep us away from your word, from fellowship with believers, that wants to lead us back into living the life we lived before we came to know you. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you would help. Jesus, thank you for praying for us. I pray you would help release the Christians that are trapped in old sinful patterns and ways. May you deliver them. May they see your face. May they feel your hand. May they cry out to you. May they weep bitterly to you in their prayer closets until you give them the victory in Jesus' name, until they are walking close and sitting by your side. Lord, I pray for all of us, myself included, that we need you. We need you every hour. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.